The question was asked, is there value in saying Tehillim, Psalms, without understanding what one is really reading? So I'd like to tackle this from two different angles. Number one is with viewing Tehillim as a prayer. So in general, when it comes to prayer, we say that if a person prays and says, God, you know what intention is supposed to be injected here. I leave it up to you. I'm not sure what intention I'm supposed to have. So that works. So that's something one can do in any prayer. I'm saying in general with regards to prayers and blessings. So one can say, I'm having in mind that whatever intention is supposed to be here is here. I don't know. We try to have intention for the simple meaning of the words in prayer, but we don't always understand even that. Look at the blessing of Lemal Shinim. Takerut Shaberut Mager. What is Temager? Ask the average person. They don't know. So there are words that we read on a daily basis. People say Ritzei on Shabbos, right? Ritzei V'hachalitzeinu. What does V'hachalitzeinu mean? The average person doesn't know. Yet we're all saying it. So there are words in prayer that we don't exactly know what they mean. If a person has in mind, Rabon Shom, whatever it's supposed to be, that's okay. So that's a weight that one should bear in mind. We don't always understand, and we don't always have to understand. The Talmud says there were words they didn't know how to translate either. Words in Megillas Esther, Hashteranim b'nei Ramachim. The Gemara says, we don't know, Miyadinan, do we know how to translate those two words? Hashteranim b'nei Ramachim. So you see that we don't know everything perfectly. And it says in Halacha that's why it's preferable to say prayer in Hebrew, because technically you could translate Shema, but how are you going to translate Vayu letotafot b'nei nechem? What does the word totafot mean? There are many words we don't know exactly how to translate. And sometimes our sages have multiple meanings, which one should be the translation. So bottom line, in prayer we say, you don't always have to know exactly what you're saying. Ideally, you should know. Ideally, you should know what the simple meaning of every word is, or at least the general meaning of what you're saying. But that doesn't invalidate a prayer. So that's number one.
It's only when you, if it's in another language, you can also pray in another language, but that language have fully to understand. If you've got a Siddur in Russian, I see, right? Or something, yeah? If you pray in a foreign language, you can always do that if you fully understand the foreign language. If not, resort to Hebrew. Mm-hmm. But I have to go, guys.
Thank you.
I love you.
I'll see you guys Sunday. Sunday, Shiur?
Is that Shem, yeah?
Is that Shem? We'll be here. Guys, have a good night.
I love you.
Bye, guys.
Secondly, there's a machlokas Rambam Rashi in general in the question of what the word mikra encompasses. The word mikra, we often assume, means the written law, which would include all of Tanakh. Right? Not so clear. Now, one area of application as to what's included in mikra would be the question, is one fulfilling a mitzvah of learning Torah? Now we're talking about the Torah aspect of Tehillim, not the prayer aspect of Tehillim. Is one fulfilling learning Torah when he doesn't understand what he's reading? So in the written law in Torah, in the five books of Moshe, and Chamisha Chumshei Torah, we say, even if you read it and you don't understand, you're doing a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So a guy asked earlier this week, so then why don't we spend all day just doing that? And the answer is because Bittul Torah is also a matter of quality, not only quantity. To read and not understand, you're not doing quality learning Torah. That's also a type of Bittul Torah. We have to take advantage of our time. Taking advantage isn't only to read Torah, it's also to understand Torah. For sure, understanding is a component. But your question was, is there a value to reading Tehillim without understanding? From the angle that Tehillim is a book of prayer, which it is, so then there is a value to reading without understanding. We say we leave that up to God to interpret it and understand it. And it definitely has weight, it has merits, irrespective of my personal understanding. That's number one. With regards to the value of learning Torah, so then there is the opinion that says that all of the Tanakh counts as learning Torah, even if I don't understand what I'm reading. In the oral law, you're not doing any limud Torah by reading Mishnah and not understanding it. We had a student here who learned the whole Shas and understood none of it. So he wasted his time. He invited me to see him a shas. And then someone there started asking him questions, and not me. And he really didn't understand. He was spending his whole time reading and writing notes, and he didn't really understand. He would outline what he was reading, but he didn't really understand. So, coming back here, I'm saying it with regard to reading psalms, even as learning Torah, there's definitely a strong opinion that says that that constitutes learning Torah, even if I don't understand every word I'm reading. But then there's a third point to remember. And that is that Tehillim is different than everything else. Tehillim is prayer that goes back to the days of Adam. It's the greatest prayer that was ever written. Parts of Tehillim were written by Adam HaRishon, parts by Moshe, parts by David HaMelech, parts by Shlomo. There were 10 authors to Tehillim. As Rashi says in the beginning, and it's not Rashi, it's a Gemara, it's Avos Rabbi Nasan. There are 10 authors to the book of Psalms. And David compiled the majority of the book of Psalms. So, Tehillim has tremendous weights as a prayer. If when we say Shemoneh Esrei, we say it has weight, even if we don't understand every word in Shemoneh Esrei. Ala tzadikim, ala chasidim. What about them? Val ziknei sheritam habetzel, vapleitat sofrehim. What about them? Val gerei atzedek, or the gerei atzedek. What about them? Ah, yemurachamecha, your mercy should be. Al tzadikim, al chasidim. How do I know most people don't know that? Because when they read it, when you have chazanim, so chazanim read al tzadikim, v'al chasidim, v'al ziknam habet Israel, v'al pletat sofreim, v'aleinu, v'al gerei tzedek, v'aleinu yemurachamecha, Hashem Elokeinu, v'tenzachat tov chotchim shalom be'emet. Really, it's a long run on sentence. If you ever noticed when I'm a chazan, I read it as one long run sentence. Al tzadikim, al chasidim, al ziknam habitzev, al tzorem, al tzadik, v'aleinu yemurach amecha, Hashem Elokeinu. Your mercy should be al tzadikim, al chasidim. And you have that in the blessing of Shema also. We say, al kein Hashem Elokeinu b'shochveinu v'kumeinu nasiach b'chukecha. Al kein because of what? Kihem chayenu v'orch yomenu. What you're going to say then? Al kain goes on the last sentence. How many people know that? You're saying aleinu. Al kain nekavel lecha Hashem Elokeinu. Why? Ki hamalchut shelcha hi. Because of the last sentence. Al kain in Hebrew very often goes on the future. So very often you ask people this question. They look back in aleinu. Al kain because of something I just said. They don't realize that al kain nekavel lecha was compiled before aleinu was compiled. Aleinu was composed years after Al Kein Nekavel Lecha was composed. At any rate, coming back to here.
Do
so,
we have like a davening class? Yeah. Like the significance of how to read a book? That's
what I'm across the hall, there's a rabbi who heads the department. Talk to him. And I'm all for it. I think Rav Nathan Siegel used to give one. Talk to Rav Listman. If we need to reinstate one, he'll figure out who should do it when. Talk to Rav Listman. So coming back to here. So Tehillim is the same thing. We don't understand everything we say in prayer, and yet it carries weight. So Tehillim carries weight. Tehillim carries weight because in Torah it carries weight. And Tehillim carries a greater weight because Tehillim is the greatest prayers that were ever compiled. And we say that prayer has impact based on your feeling. Prayer has impact based on what you put into it. But prayer also has impact when you know how to talk to the Creator. We don't know how to talk to Him. So it's true that if you cry, if you just express what you want, that's kosher prayer and that could have its impact too. But there's also an aspect where He who knows how to talk, if He's representing you, then you're much better off. And in Psalms, you have the greatest authors, the people who were closest to God, who compiled their works into Psalms. And that's why Psalms has a great weight. Now, the question that arises is, so should I spend hours a day reading Psalms? And the answer is no. You should spend time learning Torah. You should spend a certain amount of time saying Psalms. And especially now, there are Jews whose lives are in danger. For sure, we should pray a little bit more. If we don't understand Psalms, it's recommended to learn Psalms. I recommend that people read the same Psalm twice. Instead of reading two Psalms, read the same one twice, because the first time you're figuring out what you're about to say. Now that you figured out what you're about to say, now you should say that psalm. And if you don't understand the Hebrew, so get a Hebrew-English psalm. The first psalms I read, I told Akiva, was the one he has. That little art scroll one, I went through it. I used to say the Psalms each day for that day of the month, and after a few times going through all Psalms and reading the translation as I was reading it, so then I evolved into reading Psalms and learning Psalms and then learning it with Rashi, etc. But I began with Art Scroll.
I just want to make sure you understood what I was asking, because I've got a Tikkun HaKelim as like a prayer before, saying there's merit in every vowel and every consonant. So that's where I got this idea from. It seems to be saying that literally the sound you're making with your mouth is merit, and even if you understand it.
I don't know how to break it down to syllables or consonants, etc. Bottom line, reading Tehillim is meritorious. Do you want to ask me if I say ba out of baruch? Did I get a mitzvah? L'chor or not?
No, I think he's saying more like, you probably see in a flow, it's probably, in a sense, highly Kabbalistic, in a sense, the actual letters, they were picked. It's very unique Kabbalistic words. Each letter has profound impact in heavenly spheres, and in a sense that the actual act of you, the actual Hebrew letters coming out of your mouth with emotion and heart has huge impact. Of course, understanding them for yourself and other things as well has a huge impact. The actual physical thing of it itself is coming out of you, doing it for those specific things is a very holy thing.
Okay.
So I was just wondering, I thought it's possible, is it not possible that it came from like a kind of, what do you call them, Na'anachim, Nish Mashiach, it's kind of people that went a bit.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know what Tikkun HaKelali is. I don't know. I know what Tehillim is. David HaMelech wrote a book that it's important we should read and pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it expresses the needs of a Jew in every time, every generation. So it's one of the most magnificent books that were ever compiled, and we should use it. You're asking me about some intro to Tikkun HaKelali that someone wrote. I don't know what Tikkun HaKelali is, and I don't know what the intro to Tikkun HaKelali is, so I don't know.